Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Thursday, the 10th of March. Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideo in Bonn. Our main stories: escalation of violence in Somalia as the Horn of Africa nation prepares for elections this year.
There's still fundamental disagreements about what Somalia should look like, what kind of government there should be.
The United Nations calls for aid to assist drought-stricken Zimbabweans.
We really need increased assistance to the people of Zimbabwe, and every little help counts.
Plus, Burundi defends its decision to make a census of all foreigners. These stories and more right after this.
Top story.
Operation Heat Al-Shabaab. U.S. Special Forces were involved in a raid in southern Somalia in a small town controlled by Al-Shabaab, U.S. defense officials confirmed on Wednesday. The raid comes just days after the U.S. said a massive air attack had killed 150 Al-Shabaab militants. In a moment, we'll be hearing a report about the security and political situation in Somalia ahead of the upcoming elections. But before we came on air, Mohamed Odowa, a freelance journalist based in Mogadishu, has been describing the mood in the capital.
The general mood here in the capital, it's really very, very bad, really, for the people of Mogadishu to see these growing numbers of attacks every day, killing or taking innocent lives, taking money lives of innocent people. But Al-Shabaab, they are going really to disturb the next election and will cause really and will bring more attacks in the capital, where they believe that this government is having really protected by the African Union troops. And it seems the latest attack here in Mogadishu that killed 5 people, including 3 police officers, is a sign of those growing tactics from the group.
That was Mohamed Odowa, a freelance journalist in Mogadishu. We apologize for the technical quality of the phone line. But briefly, what Odowa is saying is that the security situation in Mogadishu seems to be worsening, and that Al-Shabaab has stepped up attacks that have killed not just civilians, but also police officers. Now, many observers say Al-Shabaab aims to disrupt national elections planned for August this year, undermine public confidence in AMISOM, the African Union peacekeeping force, and bring down Somalia's weak Western-backed government. Somalia earned the title of a failed state after suffering more than 2 decades of lawlessness, insurrection and invasion since the collapse of the Siad Barre dictatorship in 1991. There has been relative success in establishing a government in Mogadishu, but as this report by Teresa Krininger and presented by Sela Oneko says, challenges still persist.
Despite recent reports of suicide bombings and tit-for-tat attacks between Al-Shabaab and Somali or African Union troops, one thing is clear. Somalia's government is desperately trying to gain control of the situation. Somalia now hosts around 22,000 African Union soldiers, and according to Ahmed Soliman, an expert on the Horn of Africa from Chatham House, Somalia is what it is today because of international support.
Without the African Union presence and the kind of regional soldiers' presence within Somalia, the country I don't think would be in the position it is now. It wouldn't have come out of civil war. It wouldn't be looking towards a post-conflict reconstruction. It wouldn't have a federal government in place and trying to create institutions for governance in the way that it is.
Nevertheless, Soliman admits that more should be done to establish functioning institutions once Al-Shabaab has been chased out of towns or villages. As Somalia is headed for elections in 2016, the debate about its political system has once again heated up. Cedric Barnes from the International Crisis Group in Nairobi explains.
There's still fundamental disagreements about what Somalia should look like, what kind of government there should be on many, many different levels. And the fact that the constitution is disputed, or at least is not finalized, is an indication of that lack of agreement.
Since 2012, Somalia has only had a draft constitution. The government of President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud hopes to hold a constitutional referendum ahead of August's elections, but whether that will happen is uncertain. It is also uncertain whether the elections will be based on the new constitution or the old system, where only certain clan elders select the president. Soliman from Chatham House says that the proposed election plans would give Somalia a much more inclusive government.
There's been good progress, and in early February we saw a plan published for the election format by the federal government after the effort to institute one person, one vote polls was deferred to 2020. So we're going to have a more representative form of elections happening in the next election.
At the moment, it remains to be seen whether all those involved can agree on the plan. The political will to hold elections is there, say the analysts, but few people expect the polls to conform to any international or regional standards.
Sela Oneko with that report written by Teresa Krieninger.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
All hands on deck, that's what the United Nations is calling for in relation to the drought in Zimbabwe. The global body has appealed to the emerging BRICS nations of Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa to join the West in helping Zimbabwe feed nearly 3 million people affected by hunger. President Robert Mugabe's government recently launched an international appeal for $1.6 billion to cover food imports. But so far, the UN has raised almost $80 million with funds from the US and the EU. Columbus Mavunga reports.
3 million Zimbabweans could face hunger as Zimbabwe slips further and further into the El Nino-induced drought. In late February, President Robert Mugabe's government declared the situation a national disaster. The UN has been drawing up a humanitarian response plan, but Bisho Parajuli, the head of UN agencies in Zimbabwe, says the country needs all the help it can get.
We really need increased assistance to the people of Zimbabwe. This is an unprecedented situation in Zimbabwe. The fiscal situation is very tight. The economy is not in a healthy situation. So I want to really appeal to the international community for good support to the people of Zimbabwe in this very critical time. And every little help counts. In fact, I have even and we have also outreach to all the other OECD members for help and also BRIC countries.
Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa make up BRICS, the five major emerging economies. In the past, BRICS countries have not directly contributed to emergency responses. Zimbabwe is only one of the African countries affected by El Nino. In the Horn of Africa, the government of Prime Minister Hail Mariam Desalegn has also appealed for assistance to feed more than 10 million Ethiopians facing hunger. George Kembo, director of Zimbabwe's Food and Nutrition Council, says the supply of food to Zimbabwe is being affected adversely by conditions in other drought-stricken countries. These include South Africa, the region's breadbasket, and Zambia, which used to sell maize to Zimbabwe.
So what does it mean? We are a landlocked country. The rand is depreciated. We recognize that a lot of our households are importing food or food items from South Africa. Hence, even if the rand is depreciated, but however, it is also a country that is also going to import maize, automatically the price of food is going to go up. Zimbabwe, being a landlocked country, supposed to rely on South Africa and Mozambique to import their food. And those countries also have a deficiency in their country. We mean we begin to compete with the landlord, and we know who is going to win.
The United Nations says it has raised about $78 million to avert severe hunger in Zimbabwe, but it is still a far cry from the required $1.5 billion. In addition, the EU and other aid agencies have asked the Zimbabwean government to provide specific information about the scale of humanitarian assistance that they need.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare. Police in Burundi have arrested Hugo Haramategeko, one of the last opposition leaders not to have fled the troubled country. That's according to The New Vision, a Ugandan online daily. Meanwhile, the Burundian government has been defending its decision to know the exact number of foreigners by giving them a biometric ID card. As Fred Muvunyi reports, some foreigners are wary of the government's real intentions.
Several foreigners, including Rwandans, fear that the decision by Burundi to make a census of all foreigners is a pretext to track them down. Last year, President Nkurunziza's government suspended 10 rock NGOs that promoted respect for human rights. Bizimana Francois, a Burundian journalist, says this census is quite worrisome, particularly for Rwandans.
It's clear to everyone that there's a hidden plan, looking at how Rwandans were victimized during the conflict. Some Rwandans disappeared and others were killed. So the census targeting foreigners is worrisome, especially to Rwandans whose past is in Burundi.
However, Burundi's police spokesperson, Pierre Nkurikiye, praised down the skepticism, insisting that the move only aims at granting foreigners biometric ID cards. Biometric cards contain sensitive information about a person, such as their fingerprints, eye color, and other information about a person's body.
This operation doesn't target Rwandans or any particular nationalities. This census targets all foreign nationals who live in Burundi.
The drive to register all foreigners in Burundi was launched last week and will go on until the end of April. There was mixed reactions from foreign nationals living in the capital Bujumbura to have their personal data stored by Burundian government.
We have problems and we don't know the objective of the census. Life here is hard and we don't know how much it costs.
Getting money to purchase the biometric card will be difficult. We don't know what they will do with the biometric cards.
We were not used to this registration, but I assume they want to identify foreigners living in Burundi. I had a stay visa. I got it from here.
Burundi's political crisis took another twist by end of the last year when authorities in Burundi and the US accused neighboring Rwanda of training and equipping rebels with the aim of overthrowing President Nkurunziza. Near a year ago, the Central African nation was plunged into chaos following the announcement by Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza that he would be seeking a third term, which he went on to win in July election. More than 400 people have been killed since the violence erupted in April.
That report was compiled by Fred Muvunyi. Crime Fighters is up next, looking at the issue of land grabbing. Enjoy the action.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Crime Fighters, Land of Chongwe, a radio drama on land grabbing in Africa. In the last episode, flower farm worker Pambo called the police. He informed them that he and his friend Zumari had found the body of Awambo. Remember, Awambo is their revered chief who had been missing for several days. While the police were on their way to the flower farm, Pambo and Zumari changed their minds and fled the scene. Let's dive straight into this third episode entitled Looking for Clues. It begins on the riverbank where the country's intelligence chief, Zamba, Inspector Wamto, and Chief Pathologist Binti are examining the body of Chief Awambo.
Binti, are you sure? Are you sure the chief is 100% dead?
I'm positive. He's gone. And from what I can tell, he must have been killed several days ago.
What? Binti, did you say killed? How do you know that? We haven't done any investigations yet.
Zamba, that's just my initial conclusion. See these marks around here? And here. Someone must have strangled the chief with something like a wire or a thin rope.
You mean these marks here?
Hey, Zamba, what are you doing? Don't touch the body with your bare hands. You of all people know how important it is not to tamper with evidence. It's the only way we can find out
how
the...
Don't you dare tell me how to do my job. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Zamba, crystal clear.
Good. Inspector Mwamto.
Yes, sir.
I want your men to take the chief's body to the military morgue in the capital. We'll conduct the post-mortem there. Meanwhile, I want the names of all the workers on this flower farm. I want them sent home immediately and the farm shut down until we finish our investigation.
But what about the public? What do we tell them? Should we say that the chief was murdered, as pathologist Binti says, and we are carrying out our investigations?
We'll do nothing of that sort. Are you out of your mind? Admitting the chief was assassinated could have far-reaching consequences. You know how much the Chongoyans respected him. Revealing that he was murdered could lead to lootings, the destruction of property, maybe even more loss of life. Do you want to have to deal with that scenario, Inspector?
No, sir, I don't.
I thought not. Now, this is what we'll do. Pathologist Binti will prepare a statement that the chief was attacked by wild animals and that they dragged him to the river, where he was found. Don't forget to say that the government is deeply sorry and offers to bury the chief with all the honor he deserves.
But Zamba, I can't do that. We'd be lying to those we've sworn to protect and serve.
This is a matter of national security. Chief Awombo was a very controversial and divisive figure. He was fiercely opposed to the eviction of the Chongoyan people from this very land where he now lies dead.
Sir, I'm ready to carry out your orders.
Good. What about you, Binti? Do you wish to disobey my orders? You know the consequences of disobeying orders. I don't need to remind you, do I?
Okay. Okay, no more threats. I'll do what you've ordered.
That's what I call teamwork. All right, everybody, let's get to work. I want this entire area combed and any evidence you find must be brought directly to me.
Listen up, please, silence. Dear Chongwe residents, I, Mweri, as head of the non-governmental organization Land for All, wish to express my shock and sadness at the sudden death of Chief Awombo. I share your anger and I share your grief and pain, but I kindly request all of you to please ensure that your grief does not lead you to break the law. Listen up. This is our message to this government. We want the truth about how Chief Awombo died. We need answers, and we need them now. The chief's sudden disappearance and death leads me to believe there could be more to this than the government wants us to believe.
We want nothing but the truth.
I'm requesting that you, Chongwe residents, give me your permission to open a private investigation into the disappearance and death of our beloved Chief Awombo. I take that as a yes. Now, I kindly ask if any one of you knows anything or saw anything that might help to solve the mystery of our chief's death. Please, share this information with me.
Madam Mweri, can I please have your microphone?
Certainly, Inspector Mwamto. It's good to see you too.
Spare me your sarcasm, Mweri. Ladies and gentlemen, this demonstration is over. Please go back to your homes for your own safety.
What? You just can't do that. This protest is entirely legal. We haven't done anything wrong.
I repeat, this demonstration is over. Please go home for your own safety. This is my final warning.
This is ridiculous. Give me back my microphone.
Congratulations, Mweri. Just earned yourself the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can and will be used against you in a court of law.
This is a joke, right? What exactly am I being arrested for?
Yeah, why?
Inciting the public, causing public disorder, attacking a police officer. Shall I go on? So please, I beg you, go home.
Till we get the truth.
Zumari, we have to do something. We can't let them take Mweri away. Let's tell the police that we found the chief's body.
Pambo, you saw what just happened to Mweri.
She's someone who knows the law very well. She's been a private detective for years, yet they arrested her in broad daylight. Imagine what they'll do to us if we tell them what we know.
But don't you think people need to know what really happened? And that this story our leaders are telling, that the chief was mauled by animals, is all lies?
Shh, not so loud. You never know who's listening. And don't worry about Mweri. She will be fine. She knows how to defend herself.
Oh, damn it. What does Zomba want now? I don't have any more leads on Chief Awombo's death. Hello, sir.
What do you have for me on the chief's death?
So far, nothing much, sir. I arrested Mweri, the private investigator who's also an activist against land grabbing. She was leading a demonstration in Chongwe, but I had to release her because she hadn't actually committed a crime.
What else?
Apart from that, we are waiting for the autopsy report so we know whether to treat this as a murder investigation or accidental death, killing by animals, as the government sees it at the moment.
You're waiting for the autopsy? Inspector, weren't you with me at the crime scene when we saw the body?
Yes, sir, I was present.
And what did you think? Did it look to you as if the chief had been killed by an animal?
No, sir, but that's what you... That's the government's position.
Inspector, use your brains. The public mustn't know it, but this is a murder investigation. Okay? Chief Awombo was killed by someone or by some people. And it's your job to find out who. Now, what about the man who found the body? Have you traced his number?
It appears the number is no longer in use, sir.
Damn it.
With that outburst from Zamba, we end this third episode of Land of Chongwe. Now that the private detective Mweri is on the scent, will she continue to search for the truth about Awombo's death? What do Pambo and Zumari intend to do? We'll find out in the next episode. Visit our webpage dw.com/crimefighters to listen to this episode or to previous ones. And while you're online, please share your comments on this series on our Facebook page. Until next time, goodbye.
And make a date on Thursday with Africa Link for the next installment of Crime Fighters.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.com/Africa Link Podcast.
And now a quick summary of what we've covered in this edition of Africa Link. The US has confirmed that its special forces raided an Al-Shabaab base in southern Somalia. And the United Nations has appealed to the BRICS nation to join the West in helping Zimbabwe fight the worst drought in more than two decades. And Burundi has defended its move to make a census of all foreign nationals in its territory. We always welcome your comments on the stories we've aired. Send us a text message to country code 49160957595510 or an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. And for more stories on African stories, visit dw.com/Africa. Thank you for listening. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Have a good day. Take care. We'll be right back.